It is time for us to read the scripture, which is taken from Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. And behold, a lawyer stood up to him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and stripped him, and beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came down where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound him his wounds and poured oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed his mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Amen. I'm glad to invite Brother Mohan. He's going to preach the word of God this morning to us. And as you know that this month, we touch some very difficult topics. And I personally believe there are sometimes much more qualified and gifted people than even me to come and share some of the opinions and some of the things Brother Mohan is going to share. And we believe as a church that whatever he will speak from God. Amen? So let us welcome him with a big clap, please.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share my interpretation of a neighbor. Neighbors come with all political persuasions. So some of the dialogues that I've shared with them, discuss politics with them, I would like to bring a perspective, okay? So I'd like to start with a personal story. In 1988, during presidential election, my daughter was about 7 years old. And she asked me, we explained to her, we are going to go to the polling place, and then even though it's absentee ballot, we are going to go give it to them, and told her that this is a presidential election, and there were, at that time, there were about 40 previous presidents we have elected. She asked a very pointed question. How many of these presidents we had in this country, how many of them were women? And I said, "No, none so far, but don't despair. Your generation is going to rise up, and you people will run for political office, and some lady president will come, and we will elect and will rejoice." That's my answer. So about 30 years later, a couple of her friends, she lives in France, a couple of her friends took 6 months off, 3 to 6 months off, to go elect a lady president to the office. Unfortunately, with a very narrow difference of 78,000 votes, that she was not elected. I was watching this election results with my neighbor, with a few friends. And then it was very devastating news, saying that, you know, the candidates that we supported didn't get elected. So I would like to go to the next slide. I would like to take a look at the results. Sorry, it's very, very low, very small. Mr. Trump won by 62.98 million votes. Hillary Clinton won by 65.845. In three states, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, I spent 8 years in Pennsylvania, where 78,000, it's the difference. So Trump won with the Electoral College victory of 306 votes, and Clinton 232. So I decided at that time, what's the best way to engage people? So if you take a look at the number of people that voted, participated in the election, only 55.7%, say 56%, of the registered voters took the time to go to the polling place and exercise their rights. Then if you take a look at the, in terms of gender, the men participated 47% in the election. They all went to Trump, 52%. The female population participated 54%. They all, 54% went to Clinton. So if you take a look at the people that elected Trump, you know, I made a statement during that election night with the friends. These are genuinely good people. And Mr. Trump was able to reach to them and be able to convince them. So these are genuinely good people that elected Trump. So if I'm going to be a strategist to change this narrative next time around, what should I be doing? So that's the approach I'm going to take, okay? So 55.7% of the population among the registered voters participating in the election, that's abnormally very low compared to other countries. Other countries we have, in India, we have 85 to 90% electoral participation among the population. So we, as a society, need to address this, okay? So let's go to the next slide. So I took a look at, this is also pretty tiny. So people that elected Trump, bulk of them, if you take a look at the Protestants, in this country there are 83% that are considered Christians. And majority of them in this country attend church regularly. People that attend church regularly elected Trump. So if you take a look at the Protestant denomination for 2016, 58% went to Trump, 39% went to Clinton. Then among the white Catholic, 60% went to Trump, 37% went to Clinton. Among the white born-again evangelical Christian, 81% went to Trump, and 16% went to Clinton. So if I was a strategist trying to figure out what really made this people that I share the Bible with, I attend church every day, but they all tend to vote the other way around. So I'm trying to take a look at the Bible, the faith I share, and also the political situation. So we got to get engaged to convince the people using the Bible, our faith, to tell them that this is the right way. At least this is our interpretation of the Bible or faith. So again, the next slide. Basically, the female participation, they all went to Clinton, male went to Trump. And the younger generation went for Clinton. The older generation predominantly went for Mr. Trump. So next, we'll go to the next slide. In our society today, there are three political persuasions. One is conservative, next one is liberal, and the third one, which is very recent, which is libertarian. Let's take a look at the conservative philosophy. Conservatism is a political and social philosophy promoting traditional social institutions in the context of culture and civilization. The central tenets of conservatism include tradition, or society based on tradition, hierarchy, authority, and property rights. So conservatives tend to believe smaller government, lower taxes. The next slide. The liberalism is a political and moral philosophy based on liberty and equality. Liberals espouse a variety of views depending on their understanding of these principles, but generally, they generally support civil rights, democracy, secularism, gender, and race equality. They belong to internationalism or globalism, and the freedom of speech, the press, religion, and markets. Next slide. Libertarianism is a collection of political philosophies and movements that uphold liberty as a core principle. The libertarian view came into existence in early 70s as a reaction to the Vietnam War. So they took some of their best principles from the conservative ideas, liberal ideas, and put together. So it's a pretty recent phenomenon. Libertarians seek to maximize political freedom and autonomy, emphasizing freedom of choice and voluntary association and individual judgment. So these people, Milton Friedman was one of the economists that won Nobel Prize, was adhered to a libertarian principle. They would like to have prison reform, drug laws, making it drug treatment is more important rather than putting them in prison. So in this country, we have these three main political ideologies. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So we'll take a look at Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So we must treat every single human being as created in the image of God. So if you take and treat people, they are created in the image of God. So they may have a different political view. That doesn't matter. So if we take the concept, we are going to have a dialogue with that person. That person may not belong to our political ideology, but they are created in the image of God. So we are going to see God in them. Next slide. From Luke 4:18-19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So if you take a look at the essence of this passage, it all deals with justice. Justice matters. Justice protects, serves, and cultivates the image of God. So when I say image of God, I'm talking about people, where every one of us is created in the image of God. We may not agree with them politically, but they are image of God. So we have to have a dialogue with them or to express our point of view. Now let's go to the next slide. I'm going to define politics. Politics, in a sense, is simply the conversations we're going to have, the decisions we make about how the people in the community will live together. In other words, it's basically resource allocation, the taxes we collect, the government we collectively agree to, it basically amounts to resource allocation. So politics, simply stated, is this: an incredibly powerful space where the ethics of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of humanity are given permission to be lived out in real time and have a real effect on the image of God in our world. Okay? In other words, our faith and our way we are going to organize to govern ourselves have to intersect. So faith plays a big role. So let's go to the next slide. Constitution. So everybody is familiar with this. We the people. So I would like to call we the people were created in the image of God of the United States in order to form a perfect union. The rest of it, you're all familiar with it from civics class. So let's go to the next slide. So Pastor Rajiv talked to us about Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan story. In Jesus' most famous story, the parable of the Good Samaritan, he upholds a member of a hated racial and ethnic minority as an example what it means to be our neighbor and fulfill God's command. Now, the story looks good. Everybody agrees. People that are conservatives, liberals, libertarians, all agree to this story. But then, when we ask the question, so there was a need in the society, there are a lot of robberies happening in this highway. So how do we protect the safety of the people using this highway or the street? So the conservatives will say, it's up to the people. We are not going to spend money. We are not going to create a big government. Okay, so let the people figure out how to take care of these robberies. Government doesn't have any business to do this. That's one way of conservatives will argue. The liberals are going to say we need protection. We need government to spend the resources. Then not only that, we also need to figure out why the robberies are happening. What is the root cause? How are we going to fix it? So that's the liberal point of view. And the libertarian point of view will be, if you allow the market forces to take care of it, it will be solved. We don't want government to get involved. If there are enough robberies, people are going to avoid that street or highway. So market forces will take care of it. So I'm not going to say which one is the right philosophy. There is a need in the society. We need to solve this robberies happening in the street. How are we going to solve it? We have to have a very good conversations, dialogue, and based on our religious faith and society's needs and our political views, we'll come up with a compromise. So I'm going to use four more examples. I'm not taking which is the right one, because conservative ideas works really well for some of the situations. Liberal point of view works really well for many of the situations. Libertarian point of view works really well for some of the situations. Okay? So let's go to the next slide. I'm going to use an example of Equal Rights Amendment. So in 1920, we gave voting power to women in this country. In 1921, the activists that were involved in suffrage movement decided we have to provide equal legal rights to women. That includes property rights, wages, opportunities for promotion, and pursuing of all the various professions type of thing. So in 1923, they got together and created this Equal Rights Amendment. Since then, it's been, the conservatives really opposed it. In 1971, Again, it was introduced, it passed the House, and it's also passed the Senate, and they set a deadline of 1974 to be ratified. So 38 states, two-thirds, more than two-thirds, agreed to ratify. Then there was a very conservative lady by the name of Phyllis Schlafly, got into as a crusade, and then Equal Rights Amendment got defeated. And since 1974, it has not moved. Right now, there are about 37 or 36 states that have ratified it. If we have one more, we can have Equal Rights Amendment. Why is this important? In this country, male and female, female is 52%, male 48%. So we are not giving equal legal rights to more than half the population. That's not right. But how do we move forward? You have to have a faith in the people that were created in the image of God. And then we have to have the dialogue. And hopefully the next generation will figure out a way how to give equal rights to gender equality will become a reality. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So immigration. So the last time we had an immigration reform was under Ronald Reagan. So in 2012, the children of undocumented immigrants that were brought to this country as children, President Obama made a declaration called DACA. And there are about 800,000 people that have been granted DACA. So now that's questionable. And even though the legal courts have given extended DACA, we've got about 800,000 people in limbo. We also have about 12 million people, mostly Latinos, in this country that have been working, paying taxes, paying Social Security, and their status is limbo. So they are underground, basically. And then we also have asylum seekers from El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. They're coming in fleeing political prosecution. There is political unrest. So they are coming in every day, and we have created the zero tolerance policy of separating children from their parents. That's not good as for our society. And asylum seekers, at the end of World War II, the United Nations and about 60 countries got together and created that anybody who is fleeing violence or political persuasion can go to any country and seek asylum, and they need to be treated as human beings. So we are not following that law that we are a treaty for the United Nations Human Rights Declaration. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So I'm going to bring some of the biblical passages from the Old Testament. Leviticus 19:33 basically says, when an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as citizens among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you are aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So basically, I'm not going to read the other two passages. Basically, it says immigrants have to be treated as though they are citizens. And our Constitution also states that anybody, regardless of citizenship, should have the same freedoms, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, etc. Let's go to the next slide. So Matthew 25, verses 34 to 35. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. From verses 25 to 43, then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. Let's go to the next slide. So here, I'm not going to read the passages. It talks about how to treat the foreigners or undocumented immigrants. So Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave, which we can call it as immigrant, nor free citizen, nor is the male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So here is one issue that we as a society need to address. Let's take a look at the next one, healthcare as a society needs. In 2010, March 2010, healthcare was made into law, and you can give subsidies for people 100% to 400% above the proper poverty level income. It was introduced. It covers about 11 million people. It's prevention focused. In this country, we have about 130 million people with pre-existing condition on a population of 330 million people. So the Affordable Care Act treats pre-existing conditions should not be a barrier. So all the insurance companies have to agree to ignore the pre-existing condition. So healthcare should be made accessible and affordable. In spite of all these things, there are 29 to 32 million people have no access to healthcare. We as a society have to address this. And depending on whether it's conservative ideology or liberal ideology or libertarian ideology, we have to come up with a solution. That's what God wants us to do. I'm going to take a look at the one more situation, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. This is an agency that was created after the 2008 collapse of economy here. Much of it was driven by home loan defaults. So they created this bureau in 2011, and it makes sure the consumers are not defrauded and as a society. So the current administration would like to close this bureau completely. And to give you an example, there is payday loans. People that don't have access to banking, if they get into any trouble, they can go borrow money. And it's 100% taxes, 100% interest per week. That means if you borrow $200, a week later you have to pay back $400. And it kind of accumulates over and over again. So this is, you know, in the past there was usury loss. Now, with this administration, they decided that no longer you can have the usury loss. That means payday loans, they can charge as much as you want. Okay, next slide. So tax cuts. So in this administration, we gave $1.5 trillion tax cut for the next 10 years. So $1 trillion goes to corporation. And they said, if you give the tax cuts to corporations, they're going to bring the money they have parked elsewhere from other countries to be brought here. Actually, they brought some, but majority of it went back to stock buybacks and CEO pay raise and things like that. Then 0.5 trillion goes towards people like you and me. out of this 5 trillion, 0.5 trillion, 83%, or 415 billion, goes to the top 1%. So people like Jeff Bezos will be getting $2 billion every year as tax cut. And then if you take a look at the 90% top, 10% of the people that are on the top bracket, that is $450 billion goes to them, okay, overall. The remaining $50 billion goes to the bottom 90%, 146 million. If you divide that per year, per paycheck, $1.31. So if you want a society to be stable and prosperous, you should have most of the people in the middle income. If you have people, wealth gets concentrated at the top, then the society will not prosper. And we have got a lot of examples in history when society got top, you know, few percent of the people holding a lot of wealth, and the bottom 90% is in misery, the society will not survive, okay? So society has got a lot of issues we need to solve. And the only way to solve is to have political dialogues with your neighbors, our neighbors. And then if you have the dialogue, you got to treat them as they are images of God. They are created in God's image. And once you have that mindset, political dialogue will become very easy, because your faith, the Bible, the Constitution, everything is catering towards equality, okay? So if we can have comfortable dialogues with people that we do not agree politically, but if you treat them as God's children, they are created in the image of God, and then you have the Bible, you have the Constitution, you have facts, and if you can use the facts and have an honest dialogue with them, many of the problems in the society will be solved. And I'm very, very hopeful the next generation, especially when I talk to the millennials, high school children, and because every opportunity I get, I try to probe what their political ideology, what their belief system is. I'm very, very hopeful, unlike my generation, the next generation is very involved, very egalitarian, much more liberal in their views, okay? So if we can do this, the society will be full of freedom, justice, equality. We will be waging peace, fighting diseases, and building hope. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving God, you have placed us in this country, and you want us to be citizen who thinks and who also follows your will, your scripture, and Lord, help us as your people to be mindful in the decision we make, but mostly, Lord, help us to be a good neighbor. Invite us to be a good neighbor to the people who think like us and people who don't think like us, people who vote like us and people who don't vote like us, people who might paste a Facebook post which we might like and which we might not like. But your call for us as your disciples is to see image of Christ, image of God in one another. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.